Do you find yourself provoking conversations with your friends and coworkers? Are you a strong listener? Then you should consider applying to become the next host of A Public Affair, WORT's daily hour-long call-in talk program. We're now accepting applications for this volunteer position. The next host will be the voice of Tuesday's show and join a stellar lineup of folks who engage listeners in conversations on social, cultural, and political issues of importance every day of the week. We're looking for someone who is curious and well-informed, comfortable speaking on air, someone who can think on their feet, and has at least 5 hours a week to prepare and host the show. To find out more information or apply, go to wortfm.org/talkhost.
In Arabic, we say, إذن جنّو أهلك عقلك ما بنفعك. One more time. إذا انجنّو أهلك عقلك ما بنفعك. I can't even read my own handwriting. I can't even write well. I can't even speak today. There you go. This proverb بالعربي يضرب للرجل العاقل الذي لا تنفع وجود عقله في عدم وجود عقل في من حوله. Translation: If your people around you go crazy, your mind will be of no use to you. This proverb is said of a wise man whose sound mind will be one of no use if all of the people, especially ahl means the family, the nearby, the close ones, related relations, tribe, neighbors, if they are so ignorant and foolish, your brain is no good around them. You can't talk any sense into an ignorant or a foolish person. So you should treat those people as if you don't have a brain either, or wisdom. Welcome to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American issues, culture, proverbs, food, fun, and possibly some games today. The food segment was on hiatus for a while due to the starvation situation in Gaza, which seems to have returned. The Gazans have been blockaded again, and no food or water has been, or any medical supplies has been allowed to get into the enclave. No, I shouldn't even say a country. It's not even an enclave. The death and destruction zone of Gaza is again cut from the benefits from any kind of support, food and otherwise. Rowan Atallah is on a mission today. I was your translator extraordinaire, and I promise to be kind, and I promise to utilize all of my brain power on this 20th day of April, also known as Easter Sunday 2025. Also known as the 22nd day of Shawwal in the year 1446 after Hijrah in the Islamic calendar. What do Muslims think of Easter and the whole process that is celebrated on a day like today? Muslims are but a part of the greater Arabic population in the U.S. and around the world. as we may have alluded to in the past, there, especially in Palestine, there are many Christian Palestinians, Jewish Palestinians, and Muslim Palestinians until the recent or middle of last century's deliberate effort to remove the Palestinians and the Christians culturally and physically. In Islam, Jesus, or Isa ibn Maryam is the son of Mary, literally. Jesus, son of Mary. Mary is mentioned in the Quran and mentioned as a pious, God-fearing individual that has been chosen, was chosen to receive the Isa. The miraculous conception is mentioned in the Quran. So we believe that Isa ibn Maryam is a prophet and a messenger of God or Allah, and the Messiah being the last of the messengers sent to the children of Israel. Who are the children of Israel? Bani Israel. They are the offspring or the descendants of Ibrahim from Sarah. Ibrahim had begotten many children and grandchildren who ended up being part of the Canaanites, the Israelites, etc. Ismail is the branch, the son of Abraham, who became the branch that became the modern-day Muslims. So in a revelation called the Injil or the Gospel, came with the prophet, the Messiah. In the Quran, Jesus is described as born of a virgin, performing miracles, accompanied by his disciples, and rejected by the Jewish religious establishment. In contrast to the traditional Christian narrative, however, he is stated neither to have been crucified, nor to have died on the cross, nor to have been resurrected. Rather, in the Quran, he is depicted as having been miraculously saved by God, who created him, and as having ascended into heaven in lieu of letting him suffer the consequence of the earthly beings hurting him to that point of crucifixion and subsequent resurrection. So the Quran places Jesus among the greatest prophets and mentions him with various titles. But the prophethood of Jesus is preceded by that of Yahya, that's John, and succeeded by Muhammad. The coming latter was announced also in the Quran, and was told to Jesus during Jesus' time on this planet. And it is reported in the Quran to have foretold under the name of Ahmed. Muhammad was named Ahmed, according to in an earlier story, we heard Worldview mention something about the Zionist narrative. The Zionist narrative is... In reality, if you look at what happened to the Palestinian population in early of last century, not just in the last few months, as some people may say it, may do it, may claim it, but the whole process of removing the Palestinian has been the vision of the Zionist establishment, because, as some may erroneously describes Zionism as a political movement, but actually it's an ethno-cultural nationalist movement that emerged in Europe in the late 19th century, that with the aim of establishing a national home for the Jewish people somewhere. Eventually, they persuaded some other colonizers, attempted to persuade other colonizers of Europe and even the Americas. But they convinced Mr. Balfour of England to promise a land in Palestine after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. Their goal was to colonize Palestine, clearly defined in all of their subsequent messages and printings and reports, and eventually conquering parts of Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. Those territories are part of the greater Israel. If you just need to look up some of those factoids and learn what is the land of Israel, and that is clearly from the Nile all the way to the Euphrates. They were the Zionist movement that was trying to put as many Jews as possible in Palestine and remove as many Arabs as possible. That process almost succeeded in 1948 when Israel claimed a state on the land of Palestine to gain independence, but we still don't know who they became independent of. But they had removed hundreds of thousands of Arabs from many of the places that were Palestine into the West Bank and modern-day Gaza. Therefore, the people in Palestine, the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, are mostly refugees from 1948, and then refugees from subsequently 1967 that have been placed in, again, additional occupation of Palestine in the late 60s. So a lot of things had shifted over the years, but what is noticeable is that the U.S. is continuing support of such illegal occupation of Palestine, and some people here in the U.S., mostly evangelicals, are believing in the Zionist vision of replacing all of the Arabs in Palestine with Jews from around the world to summon the Day of Judgment. Sometimes I feel like I wish I was making this stuff up, but that's where it's at now. So, you know, the claim that everything erupted here recently in October of 2023 is a farce. You don't need to be a historian to know that the subjugation of the Palestinians to the occupation has been going on for many, many years. Including, I would say, back to even before 1947-48, even at the beginning of the fall of the Ottoman Empire in the 1920s is when Arabs were being deliberately displaced and Jewish occupation started, or the Zionist occupation started. So we'll leave it at that. And Selamat is often forgetting about the segment we call the food segment. And last week we ran out of time. And I promised the few of you that were listening back then to make an okra. I started this music a little low. This is Arabic Easter music. This sounds like a pop song, but I figured we'll play it. This is Kabir al-Alb. It is. Easter music. In Arabic. Okay, in international news, last week you may have heard, reasons it might be well known, the Maldives, where are the Maldives? A pretty fancy place, I hear. All kinds of fun things about that island, a series of islands. Should we leave it at that? The Maldives have lost their minds, and they say an act of solidarity with the Palestinians. The Maldives are banning Israelis from entering the Maldives. Maldives is a place heavily reliant on tourism. I think that's their bread and butter. So Muhammad Niyuzu, the president of the Indian Ocean Nation of Maldives, announced last year that Israeli passport holders would be barred from entering his country in protest against the Israeli war in Gaza. The plan at the time hit a snag. Officials there realized that some Palestinians have Israeli passports and would also be excluded. So they decided to slow down the process and craft a more targeted legislation that would somehow differentiate between the different passport holders. So now the last obstacle has been cleared by the ban has gone into immediate effect following the ratification of the Maldives parliament. So Israelis can no longer enter the Maldives, where millions of visitors travel annually they're known for water structures over water. So there are guest houses and lavish resorts that generate the majority of the country's income. Are now, Mr. President, the president of the Maldives statement says the Maldives reaffirms its resolute solidarity with the Palestinian cause. And this is one of the most sweeping and penalizing, I don't like the word penalize because, it's like sanctions. The people end up paying the price. So this is in reaction to the Israelis' military campaign against Hamas in Gaza, which began October 7, 2023, when Hamas invaded Israel other countries around the world have since taken action against the Israelis that have not imposed sanctions on individual Israelis yet. So Maldives, whose official state religion is Islam, does not have diplomatic relations with Israel, but about 11,000 Israeli visitors visited the Maldives last year, according to their tourism minister. More Easter music? Easter hymns. Show with the promised recipe from last week. We may have to take a break from food again as the conditions worsen for some of the people around the world who are also facing food shortages. Bamye recipe. Bamye is okra. Bamye, unlike when it's cultivated here in the U.S. and it's typically 4 or 5 inches long, that had already gone into seed. Okra in the Arab world is plucked somewhat younger, smaller, shorter on the vine in order to minimize the seedy and the fibrous outer hull. So the seeds are inside. They don't get as hard as the rest of the fruit, but the outer shell gets very heavy fibers that kind of make it a little counterproductive to enjoy. In my humble opinion, bamya or okra in English is a very popular Arabic dish and extremely popular Palestinian stew. In most cases, it's made with lamb, if available. So this flavorful tomato-based sauce made with lamb sometimes a whole lamb shoulder, caramelized garlic, and tomatoes, on typically served on white rice, which is cooked with a small noodle, vermicelli noodle, like very thin angel hair pasta almost noodle, that is sautéed also to make what looks like a white rice pilaf with a hint of pasta. In the Palestinian cuisine, bamya is very popular, as I mentioned, either cooked with meat or without, known bamya bizzeit. Without the meat, it's sautéed with olive oil, onions, and other things. And this is a dish that's served during Lent because it contains no animal fat and it's made with olive oil. But today's recipe will have lamb in it because that's what I like when I cook it. The bamya in Palestine is much smaller, like I said. And here in the U.S., when you go to the farmer's market, you could ask for it early in the season cycle of bamya and say, do you have bamya this time? Some of the farmers may say, not yet. It's not completely ripe on the vine. You say, well, I like the small okra, baby okra. And some of the farmers are starting to carry that because of the just delicious nature of that much smaller, less fibrous bamya. Fresh bamya is abundantly found everywhere in the Middle East, and it announces the bamya season. I recall when the fruits and vegetables in that part of the world, in many places around the world, unlike the lavish U.S. grocery stores full of everything all the time, in Palestine and Syria, the quantities and the availability of said fruit or vegetable is linked to when in the season it comes out. So if it's in bamya season, you'll find it fresh, and that's the best way to deal with it. But here in the U.S., especially in Wisconsin, we know what the farmers what the growing season is like in Wisconsin. Very short. Quick, you gotta freeze those puppies or fry them and put them in Ziploc and freeze them. But that's one way to do it. Or nowadays, with the advent of, I don't know, do they fly it in from Egypt? Egypt remains one of the biggest places of producing and packaging bamya in small packages that could be frozen and shipped to the U.S. We're able to get them from a local supplier here in the Midwest to Chicago, and from Chicago they come to Madison, and here in Madison we can enjoy them all year, but you'd have to find them in a specialty store that has frozen vegetables from the Middle East. The Turkish store would have them, a North African store would have them, a Middle Eastern store will have this delicious frozen, well, not delicious yet until you cook it. So this short, green, and furry on the outside. Don't say that to a kid who you're trying to convince to eat. Yeah, it has fur on the outside. That won't get you too far. But if you let it cook too long, it'll turn the sauce into somewhat of a slightly slimy product, which, again, furry, slimy, green product, I think you'll have a hard time selling it to most kids. But in order to reduce the sliminess while maintaining the delicious flavor of this, I don't know. It's a mild, grassy taste. But you cover that taste with a hint of tomato, which brings you some tang, and then cilantro, fresh cilantro, and garlic. What's not to love? The Mediterranean basin is full of different variations of it. I posted a Palestinian recipe on our Facebook page, Selamat Radio. And for this one, you just need some spices like cumin, ground coriander or coriander seeds, definitely fresh cilantro at the end, lamb of any kind or not, just olive oil, tomatoes, garlic. With the vegetarian variety, I would say, or the vegetable variety, I would say onions will have to get caramelized and be the flavor creator. Initially, you always want to start with sautéing the lamb. Make some broth with that lamb, especially if it has bone in it. You may have to pull out some of the meat, let the bones cook a little longer to create that delicious, dense lamb broth, and you use that to flavor it into tomato. Do not throw the liquid away. Even if you think you made too much, take some aside and save it for future dishes. Just before you add the okra, it helps to saute it. Just either roast it in the oven after you oil them quickly. Just put them on a little sheet, drizzle with olive oil, or some oil that would maybe withstand more heat than olive oil initially. Toss them around so all of the fur gets the oil, and then put it back in the oven for some toasting. In some cases, if you just want to do it in one pan, you do that on the side. So you have one pot cooking the stew, and start with the broth, and then in one pan, you're making the the rest of the creation. Bami, okra is high in good stuff. Well, I don't have the fact sheet in front of me anymore. I have lost the nutritional, the deliciousness of the bamiye. But, you can look that up. But hey, if you don't have lamb, use beef. If you don't have neither, skip the meat. Go straight with the okra. Local news. A lot of changing news as far as immigration processes are concerned. And I hear we as Muslims, we as Palestine supporters are losing all kinds of turf when it comes to the Palestinian issue, or the ever, if you ever had doubt that being pro-Palestinian will subject you to rapid fire from the government, think again, because it is happening throughout campuses all over the U.S. Many student organizations that otherwise would have been actively involved in petitioning requests from their campuses to not invest time and energy and money in companies that do business in Israel. Right now, any criticism of the state of Israel has become what you would call a reason for you, the student, or the would-be student, or anyone with a student visa, to lose that. And now rhetoric from the White House indicates that Trump is willing to remove people who are legally in the U.S. As they say, it's dangerous to live dangerously. Now, for a fact, we know that any activist of non-American, not born in the U.S. for now, any activism will get you in hot water with the Trump administration and their non-administration administrators. Did I say that too loud? Yeah, there are non-administration administrators in the U.S. And yes, you are listening to Easter music right here on Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American issues. We thank you for joining us today. Happy Easter for those of you who are observing the holiday. And we'll talk to you next week. We're saying farewell. My name is Sabi Atiyah. I brought you the Salamat journey today, and I'll bid you farewell by saying in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum, peace upon you. Stay tuned for the Pachyderm Parade, the hippest, coolest show on the planet. No, wait, beyond the planet, in the entire cosmos. The Milky Way is just not enough. The whole cosmos, everything and everyone around us, that we're part of this, the Pachyderm Parade. Stay tuned. يشبهك يا رب أنت هو الإله الحقيقي الصانع العجائب مبارك أنت بالحقيقة يا ربي يسوع مع أبيك الصالح والروح القدس الحمل الحقيقي الذي الله الأب اصنع معنا رحمة فيه
قوموا حولوا كالشروبيم والسرافيم ولا يستطيعون أن ينظروك ونحن ننظر كل يوم على المذبح ونتناول من جسدك ودمك الكريم.
يا هو الحجر الحقيقي الكثير الثمن الذي باعه للتاجر كل ما له واشترى اترك لنا
Literacy Network invites you to join them as they celebrate adults reaching their goals through free adult literacy education at their annual Reading Between the Lines fundraiser. From 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 24th at the Black Business Hub, you can enjoy wine tasting, hors d'oeuvres from student-owned restaurants, live mariachi, and a program that features stories.